13. Across the Frozen Wastes.
Be prepared to spend a fortune rallying a fleet to help you. A single ship will rarely survive an onslaught from a Noctile swarm. Most sea captains are well aware of that fact. Well, the myths imply as much. I suggest a well-armed fleet no smaller than 12 vessels.
From Colvinar Bryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 48. Over the course of several days, the expedition pressed south across the icy wasteland, passing mountain ranges and traversing ice-capped canyons and frigid plains. The landscape was so foreign that it could have been the product of some whimsical story. Day after day, the sun's movement lessened, but despite its constant beaming, the cold persisted. Other than the penguins, the expedition didn't encounter any inhabitants of the icy continent. But despite the uneventful nature of the trek, the unusual scenery kept the expedition's morale high and evoked a sense of wonder. As they had on the first day, both Amandal and Felinia let their conjurations and illusions lead the way. Felinia had become bored staring at Amandal's earthen conjurations, so she clothed them in illusions. At first, Felinia made them into armored men dressed like the Guardians of Sauroth, an elite guard responsible for protecting the Principality's state officials. They even wielded the Guardian's weapon of choice, Phenisars. Phenisars were a staved weapon with a blade on one end and a spiked ball on the other. The next day, she changed the illusions, making them take on the appearance of menacing monsters, beastly beings with obsidian horns and black leathery skin. Flame danced along their sharp fingertips, and their eyes glowed like burning embers. Fangs protruded from their mouths, hanging below their lips. The illusion was an invention of Felinia's imagination, as Amandal had never seen or heard of such a creature. She claimed such illusions would scare off any beast that might think of ambushing them. They certainly frightened some of the soldiers. It wasn't until the ninth day, when traversing an icy canyon, that the expedition spotted the first signs of life. They were only footprints, but these footprints were unusual. Calamir called a halt. Those in the lead studied the tracks. Ildin and Felinia sent their illusions flying, while Amandal kept his conjurations near, each clothed in the illusion of a green-scaled creature. While the expedition prepared for a possible attack, Amandal knelt at one of the indentations in the snow. The footprint was about twice the length of a man's foot and nearly four times as wide. Six claw marks protruded from the print, each the length of a man's finger. The distance between the prints was considerable, too, about the height of a man. "What a stride," Amandal mused. "This couldn't be a troll, could it?" Calamir heard the question, then relayed combat orders to the other squads. Trolls were dangerous creatures found only in the mountains of the world, as far as anyone knew. They stood several times taller than an average man, with huge snake-like snouts that could swallow their prey whole. Their victims were often eaten alive, their struggling forms visible as shifting bulges along the beast's sleek-skinned belly. Amandal had seen it happen when hunting one to trap in the Vizirm expanse. The troll had attacked a pack of wolves and consumed them all. It then proceeded to pound its chest and belly, beating the wolves until they stilled. Amandal had waited until the last of the wolves stopped moving before capturing the troll. As Calamir finished his orders, Amandal moved ahead, studying another more detailed footprint. A ridge of snow divided the six claw marks from a thin oblong pad. The rest of the print consisted of four more pads, each different in size. "Not like a troll," Amandal thought, pausing. A troll's feet were mostly flat. Suddenly Ildin spoke, rousing Amandal from his reverie. "I found a cave a few hundred finials down the canyon. It looks empty, though.
"Let's continue forward," Calamir called. "But be wary."
They followed the footprints until they stopped along the canyon wall. Indentations in the ice veiling the canyon led to the cave, which was several stories above the expedition.
"I don't see any other tracks," Pelinia said.
"It probably climbed the canyon," Amandal pointed above the cave. The ice was not as thick up there, and any trace of the monster was probably indiscernible.
"Well, let's press on," Calamir said warily. "If the creature is not here, I don't want to stick around if it decides to come back."
Pelinia and Ildin continued to search the rest of the canyon with their illusions, but didn't find any more tracks. Ildin had set his scouting illusion at the end of the canyon, but Calamir decided to push the camp farther away in case the monster decided to feed on the expedition. As they pressed on, Bayam mentioned that the tracks most likely belonged to a Yeltis, hulking two-legged beasts that roamed the Abadine wasteland. She claimed the creatures had tusks, encrusted with venom more poisonous than the deadliest snakes found elsewhere on Kaldah. "Those Yeltis sound impressive," Amandal mused. "I wonder if the family tomes mention them." On the 12th day after leaving the Crystal Ishari city, a lone peak rose above the horizon. The sun had stopped moving and hovered directly over the mountain. According to Vayam's explanation on the Jibaran, the expedition was 4 days from their destination. That evening, Vayam made that news known to everyone. A growing excitement spurred the expedition as they continued their trek. Whimsical fancies were whispered by mage and soldier alike, speculating on the wonders that lay awaiting discovery. The day before the expedition was to reach the reliquary, the expedition made camp on a plain that was all too familiar to Amandal. Stomach knotted, Amandal swiftly retired to his tent once it was erected. He couldn't help thinking of the nightmares he had experienced during the journey to this godforsaken wasteland. Luckily, he hadn't experienced any of those nightmares these past few times he slept. Amandal nestled onto his cot and wrapped himself in his blankets. He had hoped the warmth might quell his anxieties, but it didn't. Amid his struggling, light raps pelted the tent door. "Who is it?" he asked, turning in his cot. The tent door opened and Felinia stuck her head inside. Her hood was pulled back and her curly golden blonde hair cascaded over one shoulder. The Barjanists had since erected a dome around the camp and the wizards were keeping the air warm.
"What are you doing in here?" she asked.
"Do I dare answer that question?" he wondered.
"Just resting."
Felinia furrowed her brow, then stepped inside, closing the tent flap behind her.
"What's wrong?" she asked, sitting beside Amandal's cot. "You look spooked."
"Is it that apparent?" Amandal wondered. "If he only had a mirror."
He stared at her for a moment, then answered reluctantly,
"This place just looks familiar, and not in a good way."
Felinia studied him intently. Was that concern on her face?
"You'd probably think me mad if I told you," he added with a weak chuckle.
She shook her head, placing a hand on Amandal's blanket-covered arm.
"You can tell me."
Her voice was gentle and concerned. Amandal studied her questioningly. Did he dare tell her?
"She might think of me as a coward," he thought. "What kind of man is afraid of his dreams?"
But if he didn't confide in her, she might think of him a bigger coward. Felinia stroked Amandal's arm, patiently waiting for him to speak. Since leaving the Crystal Ishari city, Amandal and Felinia had spent a considerable amount of time together. Their joint scouting had created a bond between them. That bond was apparent in their conversations, which had turned from casual chatter to discussions about serious matters, and even intimate talks about each other's pasts and future dreams. To the outside observer, one might consider them old friends reunited.
Old friends confide in each other, Amandal thought. Swallowing hard, Amandal finally spoke.
Nightmares. I've had nightmares of this place, this plain, that mountain, and some strange halls of white stone. They started that first night I returned to Sorath. He didn't dare mention the frostbite. She would definitely think him mad.
Felinia nodded and moved closer to Amandal. What was she doing? She pressed herself against him and wrapped him in her arms. Despite all the trekking, her scent was alluring. Amandal was stunned for a moment, but then slid his arms from his blankets and returned the embrace. They didn't speak at all. No woman Amandal had ever been with held him as Felinia did. Of course, Amandal rarely unveiled his vulnerable side. A rustling at the tent door interrupted the embrace. Felinia pulled back gently, running a hand through his hair. Ildin stepped inside, and his eyes widened with surprise. Felinia gave the illusionist a brief smile, then turned back to Amandal, leaning close.
"That was a brave thing you did," she whispered, her tone sounding almost flirtatious. She winked at Amandal and stood.
"Good night, Ildin," Felinia said with a wave, then left the tent.
Ildin's jaw went slack, but he swiftly tied the tent door.
"What was that?"
Amandal gazed past his friend.
"I'm not sure, but I think I've reached a turning point with her.
Perhaps there was hope for the two of them after all." Amandal awoke to an unusual amount of warmth. Why was it so warm? Was there a fire?
"Ildin!"
Amandal shouted, throwing aside his blankets and shooting upright. To his surprise, neither Ildin nor his belongings were in the tent.
"Where is he?"
Amandal wondered, hurrying to the door. The floor felt flat, too flat. He swiftly untied the tent door, throwing the flap aside.
"What, Un'Kaldah?"
The tent was no longer on the icy plain. It stood within a white four-story corridor of ornate design like Amandal had seen only in those nightmares of his. Pillars were recessed into the wall every couple hundred finials or so, with glowing spheres, probably some kind of light stone, protruding from them. Thick stonework lined the edges of the room, with intricate carved symbols adorning its surface. Amandal didn't recognize any of them.
"I must be dreaming," he thought. But no, he was too lucid for a dream.
He was about to pinch his arm when he noticed the sleeve of his charcoal robe. Where had his winter gear gone? He'd been wearing it when he fell asleep. Still at the tent door, Amandal glanced to his cot, but the winter gear wasn't there. There were no other tents or anyone else in the ornate corridor. He took several steps, noting that the floor wasn't level. Puzzled, he glanced at the floor, then the corridor. Both the floor and the ceiling were slightly curved, like a shallow bowl. He had never noticed that detail from his nightmares.
"Is this Tardalim?" he muttered, turning around.
Amandal braced himself for that blackness that always flooded through these halls. He swallowed hard, cautiously stepping away from the tent. Faint scraping, like claws against stone, carried through the hall behind him. Amandal spun, uttering an incantation. If he wasn't dreaming, then he'd best defend himself. He was partway through the incantation, but no conjuration magic was forming. Not even a single golden particle.
Impossible.
He uttered the incantation again, but the magic didn't form. The scraping grew louder, coming from a large doorway down the hall. It was an odd opening, an oval shape that reached almost to the ceiling.
"The Aldenal Plain," he thought, uttering an incantation to conjure a magma elemental.
The conjuration magic, however, did not form. A shadow spread from the doorway, oozing into the corridor. Amandel gritted his teeth, then glanced back to his tent. Without his conjurations, he was defenseless. The poles, he thought. He dashed back to the tent, ripping one of the poles free. Now armed with a makeshift cudgel, Amandel spun back to the doorway and saw the source of the shadow. It was not like the monster from his nightmares, but it was still a frightening sight. Clothed in white fur that glistened, a hulking four-legged creature lumbered into the corridor, its pale blue claws clicking against the stone floor. Its form resembled a wolf, but it was twice the size of any wolf Amandel had ever seen. A pair of transparent horns arced behind the creature's head, glistening in the light of the spheres. Unnatural eyes glared at Amandel. The whites of the creature's eyes were not white at all. Instead, they were a dark blue, like the color of lapis lazuli. Irises as white as snow contracted, stretching orange and yellow flecks around the creature's pupils. The monstrous canine growled, baring its teeth. Like its horns, they were a transparent pale blue. An azure tongue arched as the monster opened its jaws. Amandel settled into a wide stance, gripping the tent pole like a broadsword. His heart pounded, a sense of dread welling inside him. Without his conjurations, could he survive an attack from such a creature? A twisted grin formed upon the monster's muzzle. It lumbered toward Amandel, studying him with those unnatural eyes.
"I don't know what's worse," he said through clenched teeth. "You or that blackness?"
The wolf-like creature stopped several paces away. Its strange eyes studied Amandel's face, then the tent pole. Amandel's heart beat faster. A conflict was inevitable. There was no way a predator like this would leave him alone. "I probably look like a tasty meal," he thought, scanning the wolf-like monster for any weaknesses. "If I can get on its back, perhaps I can use the horns." The creature lunged, and Amandel threw his hands forward, holding the tent pole horizontally. The monstrous animal collided with Amandel, knocking him backward. Amandel shoved the pole into the creature's mouth, barely keeping its teeth from clamping down on him. As they hit the stone floor, a claw pierced Amandel's shoulder. He screamed, but did not let go of the pole. He dare not let go. Amandel fought with all his might to push the monster away, but the beast was too strong. It clawed at Amandel's side, tearing through his clothing and ripping through flesh. Another scream left Amandel's lips, but he still struggled against the beast. The creature mauled him again, drawing more blood from Amandel's left arm. Amandel's grip buckled, and the monster managed to toss aside the tent pole.
"No!"
Defenseless, Amandel watched in horror as the wolf-like creature's jaws gaped open, ready to devour him.
"That's enough,"
commanded a deep, resounding voice, followed by a snap. The creature froze, the tips of its crystal teeth against Amandel's face. Heart racing, Amandel stared at the stilled monster. It was not breathing. Something red flashed along Amandel's peripheral vision. He struggled to turn his head. To his right were the skirts of a red robe hanging to the floor.
"I hope you learned a lesson," that same voice said. "Cistern are formidable foes."
Amandel knew that voice. It belonged to none other than that crazed codger from Amandel's first nightmare. Suddenly, Amandel saw the man standing above him, grimacing.
"Why don't I fix that?"
he said, leaning down and touching Amandel's forehead. A surge of rejuvenation, like an Arpran spell, filled Amandel's body, and the pain abruptly ceased. But no incantation had left the old man's lips.
"Much better," the codger said.
Amandel blinked in disbelief, then felt at his wounds. They weren't there. "This is a dream," he thought. The old man raised a white eyebrow disapprovingly. "Where am I?" Amandel demanded, still on his back.
"Why, in Tardalim, of course," the codger said. "Well, sort of."
Amandel rolled over onto his shoulder, then stood. The man eyed Amandel with an amused grin.
I can't believe you had the guts to face a cistern with only a flimsy tent pole. And here I thought your dim-witted bravery would come after you left Tardalim.
What did that last bit mean? And what was a cistern? The crazed Codger pointed to the white wolf-like creature.
Cistern were native to Abadine some 7,000 years ago. They didn't always look like that, you know. It's amazing what Kaldar's ancient peoples could accomplish.
Amandal shook his head, not following the man's words.
Come with me,
the old man said, striding away from the stilled cistern. Wary, Amandal glanced back to the creature, then hurried after the stranger. Who are you? Amandal asked. The codger chuckled.
You don't need to know who I am. Not yet, at least.
Amandal didn't like that answer. He hurried after the old man, and the two of them continued down the strange halls.
Why don't you try casting a spell again?
The codger suggested. Amandal felt at his chest, hoping to find the necklace that held the Rogalin crystal bound to his father. It wasn't around his neck.
Trying to escape,
the man laughed.
Oh, my friend, you still have unfinished business here. Lessons to learn, creatures to seize, mysteries to uncover. Now, cast a spell.
Any spell? Amandal asked. The codger nodded. Conjuration magic didn't work, Amandal thought. Could something else? After a moment of consideration, he uttered an incantation to muster a veil of invisibility. It was a fairly simple spell. White-blue light appeared around Amandal's fingertips, then wisped around him. He watched as the magic bathed him in a veil of invisibility. Okay, now what?
Isn't it obvious?
The codger asked, chuckling. Amandal dismissed his concealing magic, considering the purpose of the exercise. Magic can still manifest here, he guessed, just not conjuration magic. The old man nodded again.
Now what does that tell you?
If conjuration magic can't be used in... A resounding clap, louder than thunder, echoed through the corridor. It was followed by the bellowing of his name from someone that sounded like Felinia.
Amandal!
Felinia's voice boomed through the hall.
Amandal, wake up!
Don't let her distract you, the codger said dismissively. Make the connection, you...
Suddenly, everything changed. Amandal was no longer in the four-story corridor with the stranger. He was back in his tent, lying on his cot, and his side felt wet.
Are you all right?
Felinia asked. Amandal stirred, turning to face her sparkling eyes.
I heard you screaming,
she leaned close and whispered.
More nightmares?
I don't know.
Amandal glanced beyond Felinia. Ildin was not in his cot. He was probably scouting ahead with his illusions.
You don't remember?
She asked incredulously. Did he dare answer that question? Amandal sat upright and the wetness trickled down his side. What is that? He mumbled, gently poking at his ribs. His shoulder was also wet, and there was an iron-like scent in the air.
Blood? Are you hurt?
Felinia asked.
I don't think so, he replied. There's just something wet on my side and my shoulder.
He removed his blankets, then his coat. They were untouched by the wetness. His charcoal robe and undergarments were another matter.
Is that blood?
Felinia asked, sniffing the air. She touched Amandal's side briefly, then examined the fingertips of her gloved hand.
It is blood, she gasped. What happened?
What had happened?
Was this like the frostbite, he wondered,
feeling where the wounds had been from that beast, the cistern. But there were no wounds.
I'm getting an arpranist, Felinia said, leaving the tent.
I don't think that's necessary,
Amandal replied,
but Felinia was already gone.